That's right. How you doing this afternoon? Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS. This afternoon, we've got a real special for you. We're going to be talking about the B-17 that's flying into the Greenwood Airport here on November 1st. We're also going to be talking about a little airport history and some of the things maybe that Bo's been up to. We've always got good things to talk about when we have Bo Bowman here with us. We also have Bob Butler here this afternoon. But before I get started, I do want to remind you that tomorrow at the Greenwood County Veterans Center, they are going to have a day to recognize, honor, and thank our Vietnam veterans. From 11 to 2, they'll have a military career and resource fair. From 1 to 1:30, the United States of America Vietnam War 50th commemoration ceremony. All Vietnam veterans who are there will get a special 50th anniversary pin to thank and honor veterans of the Vietnam War. You do have to be there to get the pin. And then from 1:30 to 4, they're having a VA listening forum and claims workshop. VA executive leadership will be available to discuss VA services with veterans and family members. If you'd like more information, you can give them a call at 864-942-8531. That is the Veterans Center in Uptown Greenwood at the old Greenwood Library that you'd hardly recognize. So it's going to be a very good day. If you need some help, if you're a Vietnam vet, they want to see you tomorrow. Come and plan to spend the day. So, Bo.
Yes.
How you been doing?
I've been doing just fine, Ann.
Yeah, well, that's good. What have you been up to? You've been going here and going there. Every time I've called you to come on, you always have something else going on.
Well, is that right?
Yeah,
no,
you've been busy.
I don't know. This being retired is tough stuff. You get into a lot of volunteer work and that and my flying. And Bob and I, Bob with us today, is also a Mercy Flight pilot like I am. So we fly Mercy Flights, Angel Flights, same thing.
Right.
I've done a number of those lately and had a couple canceled lately that I was sorry to have canceled, but I managed to stay busy and keep my airplane flying too.
That's right. Now you have a plane. What kind of plane do you have?
My airplane is a Piper Archer, single engine, four seats, nice airplane, nice average airplane. I can have fun with it just flying around myself, but I can also carry three passengers.
That's right. That's terrific, and you've been doing some fun stuff, doing some traveling and stuff too, haven't you?
Oh yeah, we travel a lot, my wife and I. We moved down here in 2000, and we haven't flown back north to Pennsylvania or Maryland since we got here. We haven't driven back, what I meant to say. We haven't driven back, but we always fly back. I'm taking a trip up to my roots in Virginia, where my Bowman family came from. We're going up there to visit a cousin I've never met here in a week or so. That keeps me flying too.
That should be a pretty time to fly up there too.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was thinking that going over the mountains, it should be beautiful.
Should be really beautiful. Well, that sounds good. And then we have Bob Butler here. How you doing today, Bob?
I'm doing very well, and I appreciate you giving us time to talk about the B-17 World War II bomber.
That's right. So. You're a retired Greenwood guy here, huh?
Yeah, I had Greenwood Plating, and it's now Greenwood Fabricating and Plating. And after 20-some-odd years, somebody came along and said, I'll offer you this. And I said, if you give 25% to my management, you got a deal. So everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. And so how long have you been retired?
11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
So what do you keep yourself busy doing?
Same thing. I have a passion for flying. Flying Mercy Flight, just had one canceled last week, and we did a couple weeks ago, Bo didn't mention it yet, but we did the Young Eagles Day where we flew all the kids.
I talked about that on the radio.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun. It got a little hot, but it was fun.
Yep,
and,
it was a lot of fun.
But there's just, that's what I do. I live out in the lake on the Newbury side, and I've been responsible for a fellowship hall being built at our church, so that's consumed a lot of time. But I'm excited about this B-17 coming in. In the past, way back when, we used to have the B-25, the B-17, the B-24. And there's a lot of retired, if they're still alive, B-17 pilots,
mm-hmm.
as well as B-25 pilots, the Mitchell.
Right.
And, Doolittle, they did the Doolittle raids, was from Columbia, South Carolina. So, but I have a passion for World War II aircraft.
What was that aircraft they pulled out of
B-25.
Lake
B-25.
B-25 out of Greenwood, yeah. Lake Greenwood. Yep.
Yeah, it's sitting in a hangar in Columbia. They did a partial restore just so they could show it, but I guess it's still in the hangar in Columbia Owens Field.
There's an organization, a foundation that was formed to get funding to continue the restoration, but I don't have the feeling that it's gone much further.
Yeah. It looks pretty good right now as a static display, but, you know.
Didn't they need a place? Wasn't that the problem? That
yes.
It was in
it sat here for, I don't know how long, a year or two, but there wasn't money or place to put it on display, so eventually they shipped it down to Columbia, I think for the State Museum down there.
Right.
But then it sat in the hangar down there for years, and they eventually did a restoration. They painted it, but kind of propped the wheels up and got them strengthened so that it looked like an airplane sitting there. And,
in hopes of more donations.
And
I think, though, if I remember correctly, the property that they had it stored on was looking to be sold or something. So I think that was part of the problem. And whether they could still keep it there, I remember interviewing the guy.
Yeah, you're right on that, Ann. I heard about that, too.
Yeah, so I don't know what the status of that one is, but how did we get a B-17 to fly into Greenwood here?
Well, this B-17 belongs to the EAA, the Experimental Aviation Association.
Aircraft.
Oh, yes. What did I say?
The EAA
owns the airplane, and they've totally restored it, and it makes a tour around the country every year, stopping at various airports, usually larger than our airport here. But they will occasionally stop at a smaller airport like ours, and the way we got it was they, on one of their tours, they wanted to stop over in between cities, and they called us, actually. They called Rick Trammell, the FBO manager out at the airport, and asked him if it would be okay if they stopped here overnight, spend a day here with the airplane, offering opportunities to ride in the B-17 for a cost, of course,
sure.
And also opportunities for people just to go on the plane and tour the airplane. So, of course, we said yes, so we kind of all
of course,
we all got going and doing what we have to do to put some PR in the paper and get people help, get some volunteers, and got to have it at the airport on November 1st.
That's right. That's coming up a week before Election Day. I mean, I'll just go ahead. You know, if you think you want to fly off.
Yeah.
You probably sell some tickets for that.
Yeah, there you go. Just for the record, if you're an EAA member, they are doing flights. If I believe it's about an hour-long flight, what I was reading, it's about an hour-long flight.
Really? 24 minutes.
Well, it says 20. It says an hour-long, but 24 minutes in the air.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds
about right.
By the
time they take off.
The time they load it, they brief you on where you'll be sitting and how you'll walk
like
around the plane.
25-minute loop.
Right, and then you do get to, after you get up in the air, I guess if it's safe, you get up to get up and walk around.
Yes.
And I thought it was pretty interesting because I was reading about all the different things that you could do. You can squeeze through the narrow catwalk of the bomb bay, and then you get to sit in the, you can sit up there, I guess, in the cockpit, maybe.
There's a, they'll probably have a co-pilot, but you actually step up into the cockpit so you can kind of kneel on the step and watch the two guys flying it.
Yeah. And then they also have the tail gunner. You can get in there where the tail gunner is. They've got a waist gunner, a bombardier. I mean, you know, you can get the whole experience by this while you're flying. I think that's pretty cool.
It's amazing to be on one of those things and see what the guys that flew those had to deal with. There's no insulation. I mean, it's just the outer aluminum, and it's noisy, it vibrates, it's cold. The ones that flew over the Burma Mountains, those guys, I don't know how they did it, because it's very, very cold when you're up at 20,000, 30,000.
Well, that's
feet.
Why you see them with those leather, those cool leather jackets and the shearling lamb
but
or
it's,
something.
It's unpressurized, so they're breathing oxygen, they got the leather jackets, and they're still freezing. And, you know, and you got to respect, I mean, Bo's been couple times in the B-17, it's like, wow.
I mean, they really took their lives in their hands.
Especially the B-17.
Yes.
And that catwalk you were talking about, Ann, that was very, very narrow. I could barely squeeze through, so, I mean, you couldn't be really too big to go through, to walk that catwalk to go up where the pilots are and then down below where the bombardiers were.
I mean,
just pretty
phenomenal that we didn't have more deaths from the plane themselves.
Well, They did.
They did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they went on their bombing runs, they had, what are they, both Spitfires? So they had the fighter planes escorting them.
Right.
And then they'd have to break off because they only had so much fuel, and then the B-17s were on their own.
Right.
And there was a lot of fatalities.
Oh, yeah, but I mean that you didn't have more just from the flying of the planes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you know.
When they got...
That plane was well known for its ability to get back. There's one especially that had its tail almost shot off, and that plane just kept
still
going
flew.
And came home. It's still known for coming home with pretty bad damage.
Yeah.
You know, we had an old station wagon, and we called it Old Greenie. And we used to be, this is years and years when Jeff and I were very much younger, we used to travel all over the Southeast doing antique shows and this type of thing. And so you could always count on Old Greenie to get you back to the driveway. Now, I had another car after that would break down any old place. But this car, I don't care where we've been, what we've been through, that car would get us back home. It might collapse when we get home, but it was good to go.
Had its own personality.
It did. Old Greenie. It was an Oldsmobile station wagon, one of those big ones, you know, with the eight cylinder. Yeah, the big, and it was very comfortable to ride in, I might add, too.
Yeah, we did a lot of trips in a station wagon in northern Michigan, and my parents would dope us up with Dramamine, and there's no seat belts, so they'd knock us out so we could get up to northern Michigan to the cottage.
Yeah, exactly.
The B-17 I rode in was a dark army green, so we could call it Old Greenie, too.
Old Greenie, okay, there you go.
It was named Fuddy Duddy.
Fuddy Duddy.
Yeah.
But now, how many are there of these B-17s that have been restored?
Well, I was looking online last night. I didn't count them. I was looking for another reason. I was trying to find out where Fuddy Duddy was now, or is now, and it's out in California.
Fuddy Duddy is alive?
Fuddy Duddy is alive and well at a flying, an air museum that has flying airplanes on display, and it's out there right now. And if I remember correctly, it looked like there were about 7 or 8 in the country still flying.
Oh.
Also, Savannah Airport, which surprised me, has got a air museum, but they're also doing some restoration there, too. I think they're working on a B-24 right now. Is that right, Bo? And then,
I'm not sure.
Okay. But anyway, Skip Shelton, your cousin knows Skip.
He was
up there, and he used to paint the paintings on the nose, and they had him paint the nose on one of the B-24s in Savannah. But Skip was a great guy, man. He was a good friend of Bo and I.
Yeah, I know him very well, too. Yeah. Interviewed him many times. You know, one of the things that I was reading, actually, at the museum in Wisconsin, the EAA museum that is out there.
Oshkosh.
Yeah, Oshkosh. Okay. They actually have one that is nothing but one exhibit that is just the noses of the art.
Art.
Of those,
art.
Yes.
All nose art.
Yeah. Know that.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty pretty darn interesting. They have a huge facility up there for the EAA.
Yeah, it's been around forever.
Have you ever been there, Bo?
Yes, I have. I've been to Oshkosh, flown out there and landed there, which is an experience, too. It's about, when I landed, there was 26 other planes in the pattern, for example.
It's the biggest flying.
It's quite an experience. But anyway, yeah, that's a great facility. They have a museum there. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And any one time during the week when they have their big fly-in, you might have as many as 10,000 airplanes parked on the ground and on the property.
Wow.
So, I mean, they just keep planes moving in and out.
Wow.
And then they have the big show in the afternoon.
Well, you know, speaking of an air show, great success this last year with the air show out there that you were working with this past year and getting ready for another one coming up again this next year. It'll be June 2017.
Yep, and I'd like to tell everybody out there we're doing all we can to make it a cooler experience. Part of the problem last year was good. We had a good show and everything, but it was really hot. And we have moved it up to June the 10th, earlier in June, and we're going to have an evening air show.
Oh, my God, that'll be fabulous.
Not after dark, but I mean when it's cooler
in
the evening, so that hopefully more people will stay around. I think a lot of people left during the show because it was just so hot last year. But we had some great performers last year, probably headlined by Patty Wagstaff, a very well-known
female. She filled in and took the place of
Greg. She took the place of Greg Cannell because he unfortunately had an accident and is no longer with us, but because of that, she was willing to come for the same fee that Greg would have charged us. And then, of course, Gary Ward from down here in Lincolnton is an excellent aerobatic pilot also. We had him, and we had three or four other very good aerobatic pilots put on the show. So that's what I'm working on now. You asked me what I've been doing. I'm starting to get ready to call these guys and maybe make a few changes and get, you know, each year introduce a few new performers. But I've got to come up with a program for next year.
Well, talking about an air show that is keeps growing and growing and growing, this one certainly does right here in Greenwood. In fact, it's getting quite a name for itself, isn't it?
Well, I hope so. I think it's time we finally did a lot of things like this. And as you know, Rossi Corwin, our county engineer, who also the manager of the airport, she and Stan Stockman.
Right.
Stan Stockman.
They were the ones that really instigated the first show. Gracie wants to get involved here. And they deserve a lot of credit for getting it started, but a lot of people have jumped in and have really gotten involved. And it's a great way to advertise our airport.
I gotta add that Bo Bowman has put in a lot of time and effort getting these acrobatic pilots into the airport. He's done a phenomenal. He got Patty Wagstaff, which was just unbelievable. She's a celebrity and a star and a three-time national champion.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't realize when Greg got killed, right? That this was not long before the show, wasn't this back in April or May?
I think it was a couple weeks. It might have only been a few weeks before. And so I walking around the house one day, thought, just wow.
What are you going to do?
Patty, I wonder if Patty would come, because I met her once and got her autograph, and I just on a whim, I called her and told her the situation. She said, "Bo, I would love to come do that." I don't know whether we'll get her this year, but I'm going to try.
Well, if we do, we got to get her on WCRS.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
That would be terrific.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be great. Well, Gracie has decided that it's time for TREATS. We have to spell them because she is.
I do the same thing with my dog.
She has to know all this.
Spell too.
Yeah, she probably does. Yeah, well,
sorry.
Yeah, Bob's over here trying to be a problem.
But I'm taking this dog home with me. What do you mean?
This is a big, big deal. With the EAA having the B17G, the aluminum overcast, is going to be here. If you really want to have, and I would say it is, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to find out how those guys handled it, World War II guys handled it, you have got to come try this plane. They will be doing flights from 10 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Non-members are $475, which includes a free one-year EAA membership. EAA members are $435. So, it's going to be an awesome, awesome experience. You can also, is the number here to call to go ahead and book your flight?
You can book them with that number too, with the EAA, but I'm sure you can show up that day
and get on the plane.
They'd be happy to.
Sure.
Thank you for a ride.
But this is, and it's November 1st, so it's a Tuesday, 10 to 1. And then in the afternoon from 2 to 5, people can come out and take tours. So while veteran and active military are free, families can go for $20 and individuals for $10. So it's a great opportunity to really get the feel, take some pictures, and feel like you are back there in the day. When our country was an awesome place
great
to be.
For today's
absolutely,
kids.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it kind of puts you to shame to look at it right now.
I'd like to add, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, but they can come out at 10 a.m. and do a walk around. They just can't go in yet for the tour.
Yeah, they can come out and see the plane.
They can see it anytime it's sitting on the ground. You can go out there and
see it. It's actually arriving the day before, mid-afternoon, so it'll probably, hopefully, be people out there to see it arrive. So
we should mention that.
It's going to come in mid-afternoon if they're on schedule and they don't have any problems. And weather, it's of course weather dependent.
Well, I know what the weather's going to be like.
And then it's going to be night.
Yeah.
And then they leave the day after. So
there's a grand opportunity.
I'm going to be on a trip. I was telling you I was going up to Virginia soon. Unfortunately, I'm going to be traveling home that day, flying home.
Oh, no, airplane. You're going to miss it.
And I'm going to miss the big day, but I will see it when I come in that evening. And then the next day, hopefully, I can see it depart.
Well, it's going to be a great opportunity to just see the whole thing right there, live here in Greenwood, South Carolina. So, and I Tuesday, November 1st. Yes,
yep.
Okay, Tuesday. Yep. That's right. Day after Halloween, folks. I mean,
we're just bunching it all together.
There you go.
Don't forget the vote.
Yeah, that's right. And then you've got to vote the following week. And maybe this will inspire you if you see this plane, give you some positive thoughts. So there you go.
Absolutely.
All right, Andy, let's hear a word from our sponsor, South Carolina Radio News, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back over here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. Don't forget about the tomorrow, the at the Greenwood Veterans Center, they want to recognize, honor, and thank our Vietnam vets. That will be going on. They'll have military career and a resource fair from 11 to 2. They will have the United States of America Vietnam War 50th commemoration ceremony. That will just be from 1 to 1:30. And that's a special 50th anniversary pin ceremony to thank and honor veterans of the Vietnam War. Now, don't ask if you can just have a pin. You gotta be there. I heard that from Kerry Bolt himself. So be there. Get your butts there. Please be there. It's something that is a very nice commemoration. So that'll be going on from 1 to 1:30. And then from 1:30 to 4, they'll be doing a VA listening forum and claims workshop. That is at the Greenwood Veterans Center right there in Uptown Greenwood. So stop on by and see them. Get some help. You know, our Veterans Center is very, very helpful. If you have issue with the Veterans Center, with the Veterans Administration, use them to be able to get some help. Okay. Now, in the background here, we have the Peanut Gallery talking about...
Are we talking too much?
Talking about...
picking up on it.
B-17 that is coming to Greenwood on November 1st. That's right, the Tuesday before Election Day. They want you to come out and see the B-17. This is even available for flights. They will be taking a group up between 10 and 1. It is a cost. If you're a non-member, it's like $475. If you're an EAA member, it's $435. But what an awesome experience to actually feel what it was like to be in the air when our World War II vets were flying and young and probably scared the bejesus out of them as they're up there looking about what they are about to do. But this is a great experience to do. If you're not going to do that, you still can come out and have ground tours. They will be taking you inside the plane. You'll be able to walk around in the plane. That'll be going on from 2 to 5. You can come out anytime and just check it out and walk around it, even though it's even though you don't go on it. It's supposed to come in actually on the 31st in the afternoon. That ought to be an awesome sight to see that come
that
in.
Big plane coming in, yeah. I'm just glad it can land on our runway.
You know, you
That's
talked about
amazing.
The veterans thing at the old library, but it says on here, too, that veterans and active military get a free tour. You know, it's 10 bucks for an individual, 20 bucks for a family.
Right.
But vets get to go free.
That's right. So come on out and check that out if you're a veteran or active military. Now, those ground tours will be going on from 2 to 5, and they'll be doing flights that morning between 10 and 1. Wouldn't it be awesome to look up in the sky and see that plane flying around here in Greenwood?
They will.
Yeah.
They will.
That'll be pretty awesome. I would love to be able to do that. That sounds like something.
You're allowed.
Yeah, I'm allowed. Yeah, well. Yeah, that would
ears.
Be it. Yeah, I got the ears. I could be the radio person, right?
There you go.
You got the headsets on.
Yeah,
that'll work.
I'm ready to go. There you go. I can put my other one on that has my mic
there
right
go.
In front of me. Yep, I'll be ready to go. That sounds like an awesome experience. But the B-17, it is the aluminum overcast. It has been completely restored. In fact, I was reading that most of these, when they got them, they didn't have all the equipment in them. They've had to re-put the gunners and all the things back in them, correct?
yes, and they weren't as pretty as this one. They call it the aluminum overcast because they polished the aluminum. It's polished aluminum where in the service they painted them. So this is an especially
beautiful. What was that one that you flew in, Bo?
Fuddy Duddy. It was painted olive green, the army green.
Fuddy Duddy.
Fuddy Duddy. Fuddy Duddy's in California now. But it was at Oshkosh one year, and the aluminum overcast was supposed to come, but it had a problem, so they substituted Fuddy Duddy.
Fuddy Duddy.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's kind of a sad name, Fuddy Duddy.
Well,
let's put the Fuddy Duddy in the air.
Some pilot named his plane Fuddy Duddy. The pilot's got the name they're playing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. All right, well, we wanted to talk a little bit. That's coming up on November 1st, but we also, since we had Bo here, the opportunity, Bo, to talk about some of the history of our Greenwood Airport. The first thing is, yes, we have an airport here in Greenwood.
Yeah,
many more people know about it now since you started doing the air shows. But
well, I hope so. I think every other time I've been here, though, somebody calls in and said, we have an airport? Where did you get to it?
Yeah, I think one of the things they need is a better sign going in. It's kind of, you kind of run right up on it and then you're past it. That's true. But what's some of the interesting things? Let's relate it to WCRS first.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that's the first story to tell, but most people don't know this, but the our airport, when it was during the war, it was used to develop what they call ILS, or an instrument landing system. Well, that was one of the primary functions at our airport. A lot of the people that worked there, employed there at the base, were instrument technicians. And they worked on developing an instrument landing system, which is a system that sends out signals from the end of the runway and allows the pilots to approach as you're going, like you were going down a funnel. It tells you whether to turn right or left, up or down, and brings you down right to the end of the runway. And that system is still being used today, the ILS system. And some of the early research and testing was done here at the Greenwood Airport. In fact, a lot of the technicians got awards for it because it was such a unique and new thing.
And WCRS.
Well, I'm about to get to the WCRS.
All right, because we just celebrated 75 years.
Yes,
that's right.
No way.
Yeah. September 1st, 1941 is when WCRS went on the air.
Yep. And every instrument approach for a pilot has what they call an initial approach fix. And then they have a final approach fix. But planes from Greenville would come down here to practice using the only ILS system that was in existence at the time. They came down here, there was many as a couple thousand, 2,000-3,000 landings per month. They would come down here and practice ILS approaches. And the first point that they would come to when they flew down from Greenville was they would home in on the WCRS radio beacon. They could tune that in, that frequency, and go to that point and then fly outbound toward the lake and make a procedure turn out there and then pick up the signals for the ILS landing on the way back in. But the initial approach fix was the ILS, was the WCRS tower. Now, when I first learned about that, I thought, well, I'm going to trace that out on today's map and just see where all the approach took these pilots. And it wasn't working out. I would come down, I got an ILS approach plate, we call them, but a drawing that tells you how to use the approach. I got one out of the Maxwell Air Force Base research and history research down in Alabama. And I used those instructions and traced them out on a map, and it wasn't coming out right. Then I learned that WCRS Tower was originally down on the property where Lander University was.
Right. Not very far away,
but it was enough that it didn't work for the instructions they had after you crossed that initial approach fix. It wasn't working out. But when I put it in where I found out it was located on the Lander campus, it worked out perfectly. So WCRS played an important part in the development of instrument landing systems, which are still used at the major airports today.
You know, I think that's so neat. And actually, one of the reasons WCRS had a 24-hour license, where a lot of AM stations are sun up, sun down, but it got a 24-hour license, and it was probably because of that.
It could very well be, so it was available all the time.
That's right. And WCRS was the last station to get its license in South Carolina before World War II.
Wow.
And here's another thing. The people that were working at the radio station, since they were all radio trained in everything, they got they had to go into the war, and they were left with women and children running the radio station. Yeah, it was a pretty awesome part that WCRS played.
A lot of businesses had to use the women for labor, like Rosie the Riveter.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, but anyways, I thought that was pretty, that was interesting. Two facts. One, WCRS has a 24-hour license, and that was because of that.
I'm glad you told me that. That's interesting. I'm sure that tied in with that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we have to say again, I told you this before, that the WCRS letters stand for Western Carolina Radio Station.
Yes, they do.
On the newspaper.
I keep kind of changing. Wonderful, wacky, wonderful. You know, I've got a whole bunch of things. But anyways, yes, that was the original.
It's not wacky, crazy radio station. Western Carolina.
There you go. Well, we are talking about some of the history of the airport. One of the things that I find very interesting, Bo, is that if the airport wasn't always where it was, where it is now.
Right. The first Greenwood Municipal Airport was located on the east side of Montague Avenue. It was perpendicular to that, and the runway ran from about where M&M Tower is today, right off of Montague, back towards where the, now we can say the old Northside Middle School was. It was about a 1,500 foot strip, that was all. It was a relatively short strip, but that's all they needed in those days.
Right.
And on June the 29th, I believe, in 1929, it was dedicated as the first municipal airport for Greenwood. And later, in the 30s, it moved out to Chinkapin.
Chinkapin Road,
it
wasn't
it? Some people called it the Chinkapin Airport. A guy named Johnson ran it, and it became known as Johnson Field. But what's located there today is the development called Westgate. And I'm trying to think of the names of the streets out there are Westgate, and I can't think of the other one, but they are the two, were the two runways.
That's pretty awesome,
yeah. So that was our second municipal airport, and then when the airport out here became available, because the government, when the war was over, gave the property and the airports for a lot of the airfields, 700 and some of them, to the communities, to counties, to cities, for municipal airports. And
so how long had that airport been out there then? So we had really two airports, one for the government.
Yeah, they overlapped a little bit. They overlapped in the mid-40s.
Okay.
I think in 48, the property for the one out at Chinkapin was sold. And the money that they got from that sale went into putting in the first terminal building out at the airport, which is no longer there. It was more or less a house.
Right.
But,
they actually, this is, again, when I read, Bo, he finally gave it to me, held back for years, but I finally got to read the thing. But we had a POW camp right by the airport, World War II POW camp. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's about over where Items South. That building was
the old Midland Cross
Grounds prisoner of war camp.
We actually had prisoners.
It was only there for a year or so, but they had 229, if I remember right, 229 German prisoners there, and they all worked in they were laborers in the forest industry.
And they, what about that?
They got out and they made money. They got paid the same as our own men got paid. And we wanted them for that reason, because there was a labor shortage due to the war. So these men were helping us cut down trees and produce lumber.
Wow, how about that? You know, sometimes you just look at the world today, and it's hard to think back to when you'd have a POWs right here in Greenwood. Yeah. I mean, to think about some of the things, to think that the airport hasn't always been out where it is, that it was over there going on Montague there. I mean, it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah.
To see how our community has changed.
When I started into this, I had noticed that nobody had looked into the history of aviation in Greenwood. And I was amazed that from my other presentations, all the things I learned. It was just amazing learning that.
You got to mention Lindbergh.
Yeah, Lindbergh flew over to open a county fair one time. that you came up from Atlanta to here, circled our airport, and then landed in Spartanburg. But our city officials requested that. He did it.
And he waved.
He dropped a letter of greeting. Didn't that letter get lost or something?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, isn't that the story? Yep, the letter got lost? Never been able to find
it? It's kind of a long story, but I did finally locate the son of the man. They were both named James Pinson. He's the boy that picked it up. And I talked to his son, and he remembered as a kid he and his cousins playing with the banner that it came down with. They had like a banner tied to it so that it would float down, and they remembered that, but nobody seems to remember what happened to the letter. I've had the county search their archives, and we have not found.
That would be the peak of my career,
to find that letter. I can't believe that somebody would have kept it.
Bo goes to the jockey lot every Saturday looking for it.
Looking for the letter to show up, signed by Charles Lindbergh. Yeah. Okay, well, anyways, hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back, and we'll finish up here with some interesting history. Don't forget, coming up on November 1st will be the B17G, the aluminum overcast, will be here in Greenwood, an awesome opportunity. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Well, we're not talking tall tales back here. We're talking history that sometimes gets lost in translation. There you go. So, Bo, you spent quite a bit of time when you first came here to Greenwood finding out all this history. Now, what is one of your favorite stories or characters that you had found out information about?
Well, funny you should ask, but Luke Williamson was a fellow from 96, grew up in 96, and when he was in his early 20s somewhere, he went off and joined the Army Air Corps.
It was before the Air Force, right?
It was the Army Air Corps, and he went to Maxwell Field, which is now Maxwell Air Force Base, and was instructed and down there. And he used to fly home to 96 and land in, actually, the first airstrip in the Greenwood area was next to his house, his dad's field. And he would fly his P-12 biplane home, land and visit his family, and kids from all over town, including our own John Drummond, who just passed away, would run to see John Henry, they called him. It was John Henry Williamson, but they called his nickname was Luke. And they would go see John Henry and his airplane. They all get to touch the airplane and everything. Well, anyway, this guy went on to, down to Maxwell Field. General Chennault was told to develop a aerobatic team because the Navy had developed one, and Chennault had his orders to develop a aerobatics team. And the way Chennault did it was he took people that were willing to volunteer to go up and fly with General Chennault. He was quite a pilot. And he would pick the guys to join the team, three of them. And I'll try to make this short because I know we're running short
of time. Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So he and Billy McDonald were picked, and another, they had a spare guy called Possum Handsome.
Possum and
General Chennault and Luke Williamson flew together first, and then Possum went off to transport school, and Billy McDonald joined them, and the three of them became quite well known.
What time frame was this?
In the early 30s.
Early 30s,
yeah.
Okay.
And for a while, Wrigley Chewing Gum sponsored them and would help too, but they would perform like at the Chicago Air Races, which they had back in those days, and at various cities around the country. They were actually the first, they preceded the Thunderbirds.
What made them decide to do an aerobatic group?
Well, I say one of the Navy was developing one, and it was a competition sort of thing. They told Chennault, you will develop an aerobatics team. And the way he set it up was he figured nobody would be better than him, so he had them fly with him. And he said, if you can keep up with me and do the things I do, when this is all done, I'll take the best ones. And our own Luke Williamson was one of the ones that was picked.
Wow.
And just to give an example how good they were, they would take off with their wings tied together with a rope. And I've heard two stories, one that it was a 10-foot rope, I don't believe that one, but I think it was a 20-foot rope. And they would take off together, perform loops and rolls together as three, and land with those ropes still tied together.
Wow, that's pretty close, 20 feet,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, and it was obviously the thing that meant the most to Luke, because if you would visit his graveside, which is down off of Route 702, you see right on his tombstone when you walk in the cemetery that's back in the woods, it says, one of the Flying Trapeze. And that was the name of the group. They were named the Flying Trapeze. And so you know how much that meant to Luke.
So that was he part of the first aerobatic for the Air Corps?
Yeah. I mean, that preceded.
And then there was the Navy, yeah.
And the Navy's had one, I forget what they were called. But they preceded, they were the first Air Force, Air Corps, aerobatics team. Yeah.
Wow. And so
that guy deserves a plaque or a medal or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. You know, I think that's one of the things that's so wonderful about our area. So many great people have actually come out of our area, whether it's actors or people that were in the military, or, you know, there's a lot of great stories, and we need to not lose these stories because it's very easy for them to disappear.
And this one essentially had.
So thank you, Bo Bowman, for rediscovering it and bringing it to us today.
I would like to get some honor for him, like a plaque in 96 or something someday, because he deserves it. He really does. There's a plaque to his honor down at Maxwell Air Force Base.
How about that? WCRS right here in Greenwood. We'll have to work on that. I've got a couple ideas. Maybe we can do something.
I tried to get one of those big medals. You know, the federal government sponsors those roadside medals, like the Salvador thing up the road. And there's some reason they told me it couldn't. I think it's because they don't do it for grave sites.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can get some of our state people to do something there. Have we looked at that?
Yeah, I guess we could put it by his house, down near that house that he lived, grew up in, is still there, and it's still a nice house. Hmm. Put it there and say, this is near the home of, and then go on and say what he did.
Yeah, how about that? All right, well, we are right here. Thanks so much, Bo Bowman and Bob Butler, for coming out today.
Thanks for the invitation, Ann.
Absolutely, and make sure you put this on the calendar, November 1st, a week before voting day. Go check out the B-17G aluminum overcast. It's coming to town. That's right. It'll fly in the afternoon before, be here all day long. So you'll have opportunity to go out and just walk around it. You'll have some opportunity to have tours of it. And if you really want to go up in the air, they even have opportunities of that. So check that out. Bo, it's always a pleasure to have you right here and be talking about a little history and talking about the air show coming up next year. You'll be working on that. So
everybody remember, that's June the 10th. We'd like to see you out there. Got to have another good one.
Another good one. So you certainly have put Greenwood on the map with the air show. I remember when it was in its infancy and everybody said, nah, this will never work, right? Boy, you have made it come a long way,
well,
baby.
Well, I helped. I mean, there's a lot of people made it work.
Absolutely.
Starting with Rossi and Stan.
Yeah.
I love airplanes, so my portion of that, working on the show, the performers, that's fun. I like that.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us. We do want to say a big thank you for all that you do for our community, Bo, and flying the Mercy flights, and Bob, a big thank you to you for what you do for the community and working with kids and helping out, and we're running some Mercy flights too.
I appreciate it. You know, I really enjoy listening to WCRS as much as I can. You got a great thing going here too, especially with the new edition of 98.5 on the FM dial.